SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what we were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget, act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
All right, let's tap in. We're live right here on Moneyline. I'm Kevin Walsh. Solo style, DRS off on Tuesday, so this will be part of our new schedule here on Moneyline moving forward. Donnie and I together on Mondays and Thursdays, DRS holding it down Wednesdays and Fridays, and I've got you covered right here on any given Tuesday. We've got a lot to get to, certainly the fallout from Monday Night Football. The real Rodgers debut with the New York Jets did not go according to plan. 32-19, your final score. Game goes over. Niners cover incredibly easy in that one. We will get to that, as well as what the Packers, Rodgers' former team, should be doing at quarterback with Jordan Love on the sideline from anywhere probably between 3 and 6 weeks of action. A Packers team that some were picking to make, if not win, the Super Bowl this year. It's early in the season. They're not going to look to punt on it. Can they really trust Malik Willis? We'll get to that, as well as the Notre Dame head coaching situation. I don't know how many of you out there believe that this is a hot button topic, but I do. I think the loss that Notre Dame suffered last week at home to Northern Illinois is pretty much the final straw there for Marcus Freeman in South Bend. They're not going to let him go after the one game. If they lose this weekend at Purdue, spoiler makers, they've been known to do it before, that could very well be the end for Marcus Freeman. I don't see much of a pathway for Freeman to keep his job unless Notre Dame runs the table, which feels incredibly unlikely, maybe at 10-2. Who makes sense? We'll get to that as well. We are live across Sirius XM, of course, Channel 159 with you right here on Sports Grid Radio. But the visual formats are up and running over on YouTube. I know many of you out there have wanted this. It is back in your life. Sports Grid on Demand. We've got, as Donnie calls it, the chat box up and running as well. If you have any thoughts, comments, questions, you can let them fly over on YouTube as well, and we'll look to interact and get in where we can. But as I mentioned, Monday Night Football is where this needs to begin. And from a pure betting perspective, not my favorite game that week one offered. I was on the under, and we last night had quite the debate on our in-game live coverage between myself and Joe Lisi. 4th-and-1 ball at the 50-yard line, 7 minutes and 25 seconds on the clock. And the score at that time was sitting at a simple 29-13. The Jets had at one point scored a touchdown on a free play, Rodgers specialty. They hit Alan Lazard for a touchdown, and they go for two. And the fact that they didn't get it was obviously monster. It allowed a Niners field goal to no longer beat us. And now the Jets were touchdown or bust. So in that moment, for me, I was rooting on the Jets picking up the first down. They would have gained, let's call it maybe 10 yards on the play, considering the routes that were being ran. I mean, they were trying to really just pick up about 4 or 5. And it would have continued to burn the clock. And from what I saw from that group, it was going to be very unlikely for them to get into the end zone. I would at least take my chances at them getting into the end zone. But with all that time on the clock, what I really did not want was that turnover on downs. It was going to take one first down for the Niners to be in field goal territory. Lisi told me I was wrong. I've not found many that agree with Joe Lisi, but he said you want the team who doesn't need to score with the ball. But the way the Jets were at that point positioned in the game, a turnover on downs, I wasn't really going to bank on their defense to step up, and they did not even consider it. First play, Jordan Mason, 24 yards, boom, 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 right into field goal range. And 3 minutes later, they put up a field goal that sent this game through the total. And then incredibly soft defense allowed the Jets to score a touchdown. Except that touchdown pass, while caught by Alan Lazard for his second of the game, was thrown by Tyrod Taylor. That final Jets drive is, for me, maybe the biggest takeaway from this game. Look, all eyes are going to be on Aaron Rodgers in a new situation. Rodgers has put a different type of attention on himself, where his decisions and his comments are analyzed as much as his play on the field. But again, he's largely brought that upon himself. The Jets, when the field goal went up and in from the Niners with 4 minutes to go, were obviously not going to win the game. It was now a three-possession game. You had 4 minutes on the clock, 4:20 to be exact. It was going to be a Niners win. So Aaron Rodgers stays on the sideline. With the way that looked, with the lack of reps that this team has, I would say, you know what, you probably should keep Rodgers and the starters out there. Well, they kept the starters out there. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, Tyler Conklin. They're all out there. Not Rodgers. That's bad. That's the most concerning thing I think maybe I saw in this game. How could it not be? People will say, oh, come on, don't make a big deal out of it. They can't risk injury. Hold on. Hold on a second now. You don't want to risk injury. Why is Breece Hall ripping off three carries on the drive? If you don't want to risk injury, why is Garrett Wilson out there getting peppered with targets? Getting over his reception prop for people who bet that. Love that for you. Anybody who bet him 60-plus yards, it was a great final drive. Somebody who had a beat Breece Hall live rushing prop, we almost got where we needed to be. Unfortunately, got tapped on the helmet. He did also at some point leave this drive, and Braylon Allen got in the mix, had a catch for 9 and a rush for 8. But again, if we're so worried about injury, why are those guys not out there? Because we're more worried about Rodgers. Not great. Not great. In game number one, in this type of situation, you're thinking about Rodgers' injury from last year. Because that's what it is, right? Or does Rodgers say, you know what, I don't need to be out there. I'm good. I'm Aaron Rodgers. Breece Hall, maybe you need some reps. Garrett, you need some reps. I don't need reps. Who made that call? Robert Saleh? Did Robert Saleh say, hey, send the guys out there, but Aaron? Nate Hackett? Was that Nate Hackett's decision? He said, hey, you know what? Let me see what I got in Tyrod here. That wouldn't make any sense. Who made that decision? That the starters go out but Aaron Rodgers? Rodgers make that call? Possible. It's on the board. You know it is. This defense didn't show up in this game. It happens. If it carries over a month, okay, then the Jets are in a terrible spot. They need to have an elite defense. I, preseason, would tell you they have the best defense in the National Football League. Last night was bad. Jordan Mason rumbling, bumbling, stumbling, boom, 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 all over this team. And we'll get to what that means. Brock Purdy was solid. Really clean game from Brock Purdy. No picks, no touchdowns, but 8 yards per pass, 19 of 21, 231 yards in the air. Juwan Jennings stepped up. Debo did some all right things. Brandon Ayuk, not great. It is what it is. Again, I think the Jets' defense will be fine. In fact, to some degree, the Jets' offense should be okay. The final numbers look better than what they were. But game one, final drive, Rodgers is on the sideline. Everybody else is giving it a go. It's a bad look, and it lowers any confidence that I would have in the New York Jets. We'll talk about the Niners side of this game next. We're live on Moneyline right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh, solo style. We'll be back, SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to you right here. It's Moneyline on Sports Grid. Chris Walsh with you on a Tuesday. Again, feel free to hit us up. You know, we're going to get those phone lines working at some point. It's been a while, man, since we've heard from a lot of good people. But you can get involved over on YouTube and comment in there as well, which is all good. So feel free, man. All those links are out in the mix. Sports Grid on demand. You can hear, the dogs are barking. Dogs were not barking on Monday night. No, no, no. Niners handled business 32-19, covering in that football game. And the superstar in this game for the San Francisco 49ers was their running back, Jordan Mason. Christian McCaffrey with a pretty surprising absence in this football game. We knew he was injured. Figured, okay, could be limited, right? But a full inactive for CMC was surprising. Jordan Mason maybe told a little too much truth at the end of the game. Maybe. Knew he was going to be the starter on Friday. Not a great look for the Niners, it feels like. Fine should probably come down. It's not going to save fantasy players. Right? How many fantasy players out there had CMC final leg, needed to get 20 points, win a league? You find out he's inactive, you have no options. You have no options. There's no one you can drop. You're not dropping McCaffrey, even if Jordan Mason was available in your league. Nothing you could do. Right? You know, there are people who probably have Jordan Mason sitting on that bench. All right, but that's fantasy football. Bets wise, all the CMC stuff comes back. If you bet the Niners because of McCaffrey, you still ended up getting the job done. If you're like me and who bet under, saw the CMC news, saw the number drop, I said, yep, that's not going to help me any. I don't know. We're just, sometimes that's how it goes. I wasn't surprised at that total drop. And again, I still didn't get where I needed to go on under 43.5. But some other numbers that moved with the Jordan Mason star-studded performance were in the futures market. Around some awards, Jordan Mason goes 28 carries for 147 yards and a touchdown, 5.3 yards per carry. He was one of the best running backs in week number one. And I think many people would probably sit there and give a lot of credit to Kyle Shanahan, the offensive system, and maybe take your shots at the Jets, and all of those are valid. But this is a very, very important performance to remember. When if the Niners end up this season being as good as they've been the past few seasons, I'm lower on San Francisco. I know they got the job done here. I don't know if it'll sustain. CMC already injured. Trent Williams banged up at the end of the game. Brandon Ayuk not crisp with the holdout. New defensive coordinator. I don't know. I think it's relative. I think the Niners should still be in the playoffs. I'm higher on Seattle and for sure, and LA a little bit maybe than the market. LA's dealing with some injuries. Avia, the left guard, now going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. That's bad. Puka Nacua, the injury, that's already bad. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Niners are just going to once again win 12, 13 games. And we know that if you are going to have one of the best records in football, you're going to have an MVP candidate. Please, please remember week one Monday Night Football before you suggest that Christian McCaffrey is the league's MVP. CMC is great. He's great. His offensive player of the year number has dropped. It's down to 13-1. It should drop further. Nearly impossible to repeat. Missed week one and already slated to likely miss week two. His number should be dropping more than that. No, I truly would much rather bet Jordan Mason. Do we have a Jordan Mason? 150-1. I'd much rather bet Jordan Mason at 150 than Christian McCaffrey at 13-1. But Christian McCaffrey's MVP price is 100 to 1. Stop it. It's not a thing. You're just not going to be, in 2024, the league's most valuable player playing the running back position. And running backs certainly have their value. I am not telling you that Mason is as good as McCaffrey. That's silly, right? Especially as somebody who thinks that Saquon Barkley is going to be a big addition for the Philadelphia Eagles. And it's also fair to say that what Jordan Mason was able to do here in one game, right? Can he do over the course of a full season? No, he can't. He can't. Jordan Mason is not as good as Christian McCaffrey. Full stop. One catch, 5 yards, targeted once. Right? That evidence is there. We understand it. But the ability to step in and have that kind of game, that the equivalent would be Mahomes is out, in comes Carson Wentz, and he's 39 for 48, 350 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Like, what in the, huh? How do you do that? And again, even that one game of excellence, you're like, well, we know that's not going to last. Next week, the Niners play the Minnesota Vikings. Again, every indication that Christian McCaffrey will be out for this football game. What do you think the Jordan Mason prop is? 75.5? It's going to be one of the more bet props. What do you think his touchdown number is? Scored. We know CMC scored. Minus? Jordan Mason next week will very likely have one of the highest rushing totals, if not the highest, on the week 2 slate, and will have one of the strongest anytime touchdown scorer prices. Because Christian McCaffrey is not the most valuable player in the league, because he plays running back. And it is that simple. It's a quick break, and it's more Moneyline on a Tuesday. We're with you on Sports Grid. We are right back here. Kevin Walsh, solo style, making it happen.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to right here on Moneyline SiriusXM Channel 159 on a Tuesday. We got you for another 35 minutes. Football Full Circle is in the mix at noon. I feel that crew may get into some Notre Dame coaching conversations when it is time for them to take over. I know I'm certainly interested in some Notre Dame coaching conversations, because for me, Notre Dame in week 2 had a result that very likely seals Marcus Freeman's fate. A loss as a 28.5-point favorite at home to a MAC football team in Northern Illinois sees the 5th-ranked Notre Dame Fighting Irish fall to 1-1. And there are a few names who I think could be interesting to take over for Marcus Freeman. Now, firstly, let me just say, in terms of could I be overreacting, could Marcus Freeman keep this job? Well, Marcus Freeman would very likely need to win at least 10 games this year to keep that job. If he loses to Purdue next week or Miami of Ohio the following week, I think he's done right there. And they let offensive coordinator Mike Denbrock coach the rest of the season. So he's got 2 more games. If he wins those, then he probably gets the rest of the season. Probably, though. No guarantees. They still then have to host Louisville, who they lost to last year. Then they would hit their bye week, If they lose to Louisville at home, who is currently ranked inside the top 20 and has a bye week and then home against Georgia Tech before playing Notre Dame, meaning Louisville should very likely be one of the 15 or so best teams probably by the rankings when that game shows up. But is that game going to potentially put Marcus Freeman on the hot seat? One of these games will. And again, for Marcus Freeman, the A&M win, the USC win, the Clemson win, they get canceled out when you lose to Northern Illinois, Marshall, Stanford. It just does. It just does. It's embarrassing. You know, it's kind of funny, but Notre Dame would have been much better off if you flipped the results of their first two games. As good of a win as that was at Texas A&M, closing as an underdog of a field goal, right? Notre Dame could have lost that game ugly. They could have scored 13 points the way A&M did. And if they would have showed up next week and beat Northern Illinois, we wouldn't be sat here being like, oof, hot seat, season over. But sometimes the losses outweigh the wins. The question then when trying to find the head coach for Notre Dame is, how do you get a coach in this building where when you see Northern Illinois, Miami of Ohio, Stanford, you go, all right, we know those are wins. And a guy that you then have confidence can step up and beat big teams. And I think for Notre Dame, they went with an in-house elevation in Marcus Freeman. Maybe they were somewhat surprised by Brian Kelly leaving for LSU, weren't prepared. But I think Notre Dame will look for a big name hire. I don't think this team elevates Mike Denbrock. I think that this team is going to look, I don't know if Jamie Chadwell is a big enough name for Notre Dame. Even if you think Jamie Chadwell is a great coach. I think Notre Dame is going to be looking for a star head coach. A name that you know. A name that mostly anyone knows. And I'm not teeing this up to then give you one clear-cut name. But I just think that's going to be a part of the criteria for Notre Dame. Where that gets tricky then is figuring out, where does Notre Dame land in the landscape of college football? Our guy Ben Stevens, of course, co-host of College Football Today with myself and Joe Lisi, sends Lincoln Riley. Is Notre Dame a bigger job than USC? Is Penn State a bigger job than Notre Dame? We'll talk about this. Notre Dame's next head coach, who do you think it could be? Let me know. We'll talk about it right here on Moneyline on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What do you say, SportsGrid Radio? Right here on, of course, SiriusXM, channel 159. Kevin Walsh with you. Halfway home. Little solo style. I've not done solo Moneyline full show maybe ever. I don't know, JP, if you would know the history of it, but we all know Donnie doesn't take days off. One time Donnie was off on In Play Sports Tonight, and I believe I did the show with Ariel Epstein. Shout out to Prop Queen. Right, Consig obviously would always stop by as well. I think this would be the first solo shot that I have here on radio. It's kind of funny, but it feels weird. I mean, I feel like we're having a good time here. There's, a lot of good stuff to get into, but
Yeah, even in, just, you know, in the breaks, like, where's DRS? Like, I'm just, like, looking around for him. You know what I mean? DRS off on a full Tuesday. Donnie Wrightside has said today he will be watching back every NFL game. Condensed. He's very excited, though. Me, him, and, of course, Lisi hanging out last night for Monday Night Football, which was a blast. And also, when I got to see Donnie on Sunday, I was talking to him about Notre Dame. And Donnie has long said that Marcus Freeman was not the guy for the job with Notre Dame. And I think all in all, for Donnie, that ends up being a correct call, because I don't think that he's the guy anymore for Notre Dame. I think Marcus Freeman can still coach at a high level. I think he's probably, if Notre Dame moves on from him, going to have to end up with a defensive coordinator job. That's my guess. But for Freeman, I don't want to ignore a dominant win against Caleb Williams in USC last year, beating Clemson, going to A&M in week number one, right? I think all of that worked out great for Freeman. Those are great wins. And it's a part of the reason that people had a lot of faith in Notre Dame. But those bad losses are really tough. So for Marcus Freeman, I got a young head coach. He has time. He really does. He has time. But I think for Notre Dame, it's very likely time to move on. One of the reasons, though, I think this is such an interesting topic is my full belief that Notre Dame has to go big name. So Ben Stephens, as I mentioned, says Lincoln Riley. Now, if Lincoln Riley was on the board, that is we don't need interviews. You don't need interviews, all right? That's the head coach. Lincoln Riley is one of the best head coaches in all of college football. He's never not had a top 10 offense. Great recruiter, and why wouldn't he be? Every quarterback should want to play for Lincoln Riley. I'll never understand the Malachi Nelson decision to go to Boise just to lose the job. It is what it is. But with Notre Dame, and at times I think people they pop the chest out too much when they're trying to drag Notre Dame down about where this program ranks in the college football landscape. And the reality is Notre Dame is one of the 10 biggest programs in all of college football, very obviously. But just because one program is bigger than another, it doesn't automatically mean that a coach then would shift and go to that job. If you would list Notre Dame as bigger than USC, it does not automatically mean Lincoln would go, because USC is still a monster job. James Franklin is at Penn State. Again, Notre Dame against Penn State, you can have that argument. But I'm not sure Franklin would leave Penn State, where he seems to be safe and secure, right? And realistically, a lot of people think they'll make the college football playoff this year. I had them out of my college football playoff. We'll find out. I still truly wonder what happens if USC and Ohio State beat them, and if they finish 10-2, but with no big marquee victories, is that enough to get in? But even if that happens, if they're 10-2, 14th in the country, it doesn't seem like anybody at Penn State is going to bat an eye. Like, oh, good, you know, good on James Franklin. So I'm not sure that that means then Franklin would be ready to sidestep and pivot and come in and take that job. So then you then try and find out what would qualify as a big name. I wonder a little bit if bringing in someone from the NFL would meet that criteria. What if Brian Daboll hits the market from the New York Giants? Brian Daboll's coached in college before, offensive coordinator at Alabama. I think Brian Daboll's a great head coach, personally. I don't know what the Brian Daboll recruiting chops would translate. I'm not sure if those are in his bag. But I think Brian Daboll is a big-name hire that could very well be on the board for Notre Dame. What about coordinators who recently left college and are just now beginning in the NFL? Grubb, the offensive coordinator with Washington, now the offensive coordinator with the Seattle Seahawks. Jesse Minter, the defensive coordinator with Michigan, now the defensive coordinator with the Chargers. Would those be big enough hires due to the fact that they got that those guys had obviously monstrous success at the collegiate game from a coordinator perspective and are now having NFL reps and maybe could have great NFL seasons? I like both the Chargers and the Seahawks this year. I think those are playoff teams. I know people have started to sell LA. Not for me. Loved what I saw week one. They were my favorite of the week at -3. They got the job done. The Seattle Seahawks, I know a lot of people like that team against Denver. They get the job done. Comeback style, ultimately they handle business there. 26-20. The defense had Bo Nix in a blender. Really did. So would those guys potentially be big enough names to get the job? Maybe. I tell you right now, this is where just being a Notre Dame fan, I don't want Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff is a big name. I'm good. I think he might get an interview if he's interested, though. I also wonder if Cliff wants to just be an offensive coordinator. I wonder if Cliff just wants to stay NFL. Cliff's head coaching pedigree at the college game is really not that of someone who needs to be in the head coach of Notre Dame. He was just coaching at Texas Tech and somewhat underwhelming with Pat Mahomes. But one other name that I just cannot escape for this Notre Dame head coach opening is Chip Kelly. I mean, you look at coaches right now in college who have done more than Chip Kelly. Active. It's not a long list. Urban's not leaving the Fox set. Saban's not leaving the ESPN set. And if they were, they weren't leaving it for the Notre Dame job. At least I don't think so. Chip Kelly is right now an offensive coordinator at Ohio State. One of the top two choices to win a national championship. I don't know if Chip Kelly is ready to just ease in to being a coordinator only. I think he kind of looked around and knew it was time to bounce out of UCLA, and he was right. He did good things at UCLA. He did incredible things. While he was at Oregon, he did good things while he was in Philadelphia, despite what everybody says. I thought he was let go too quickly from San Francisco. Just my opinion on it. Chip Kelly is a name that comes to mind. As Notre Dame, I think, for next year, will need a new head coach. Let's get over to the MLB board quickly. WNBA card as well. All stuff will be hitting on Game Time Decisions, but we'll get a quick eyes on it early here with you on Moneyline next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back to right here on Sports Grid, Kevin Walsh with you on this Tuesday. 15 minutes until that Football Full Circle group is in the mix here. That group's going to have you covered on football. We'll get back to football in just a moment here. But the baseball board today has some interesting spots, and we've got a great race that is still ongoing for the wild card, specifically in the National League. If you look right now, 64 losses for the Padres and the Diamondbacks, 65 for the Mets, 66 for the Atlanta Braves. All of these teams within 2.5 games of one another. The Mets have just been brilliant, man. I mean, they have been absolutely incredible, and that has led to a Francisco Lindor MVP push. He is plus 550 to win the award. Shohei Ohtani checks in at minus 900. And I have a bet on Ohtani at a minus 105 price to win MVP. It just felt like the way he was hitting home runs and the rest of the competition wasn't going to really be there for anybody to take it off of Shohei. And I look around right now and I still feel that Ohtani is likely your MVP. Obviously, the books believe the same. But Francisco Lindor has an argument that worries me. Again, this is where award betting gets tricky. But, you know, I'll explain what doesn't need to be explained. But just in case, these markets, these bets are not based on what we would do. It is what these voters are going to do. Jason Tatum, finals MVP. You know, I learned, now, I thought they would vote Tatum. Turns out that's not how they saw it. They went JB. That's just sometimes, you know, Lamar Jackson last year, right? I would have never considered Lamar for MVP last season. Legit wouldn't have been one of the top three choices on my personal ballot if I had a ballot. But I knew he was going to win the award. So I wasn't running to place wagers on guys underneath Lamar Jackson. That was unnecessary. With the Ohtani situation, I think he's presently MVP. If you look right now, he leads the National League in wins above replacement at 7.3. Lindor is third, in fact, with Matt Chapman in between the two. Shout out Matt Chapman and this incredible bounce back year that he's had in San Francisco. It's been pretty surprising, but he's such a good defensive player that's obviously, you know, helped out a lot. He's ranked top five in both offensive and defensive WAR in the National League. And again, that's kind of carried the load there a lot for the Matt Chapman WAR season. And that's a big reason why he's not in. You're not going to win MVP based on your unbelievable defensive WAR. It will help, but playing defense will matter for some. And why I do slightly worry as an Ohtani bettor, and I could very well just bet Lindor at a number and be done with it. But while I see that Ohtani minus 900, and I think, do I need to? Well, the Lindor argument is he's an everyday player. And I would have told you that Ohtani preseason was not going to win MVP because of the fact that he's not a not everyday player. He doesn't play the field. Since he's just hitting, that's going to cost Ohtani in this race. Well, the big thing that went Ohtani's way is the top two choices were injured. Last year's winner, Ronald Acuña Jr., hurt pretty early on, and an early, not runaway, but an early favorite who was starting to create distance in his teammate Mookie Betts picks up an injury as well. And all of a sudden, Ohtani, having a great year, has a lot of runway in front of him. And he left Bryce Harper behind, which, you know, kind of was always going to be the case. Harper isn't even inside the top 10 in WAR for the NL position players. Harper's great, but he just, you know, he wasn't the challenger that a lot of people were positioning him at. The other name that was tossed out was Marcelo Ozuna. Well, here's the funny thing about DH Marcelo Ozuna. His WAR is a 4.3. While Marcelo Ozuna is excellent, right, with what he's been able to do with the dish this year, he doesn't impact the game in enough ways. But again, I bring up WAR because for a DH like Marcelo Ozuna, it will show if where your value is and if being a DH means you're not contributing enough. But Ohtani's 47 steals is pretty much weighing heavier, I would even say, than 46 home runs. And that's why I think that Ohtani is a deserving MVP. I think he's going to win MVP. I think arguments that Lindor deserves it because he plays every day in the field fall a bit short when he's not created a gap against Ohtani. Though I do hear that Ohtani being able to singularly focus on hitting and running could make things a lot easier for him. Ohtani being in the lineup and situation that he's in makes things easier for him. Again, I'd listen to the Lindor arguments. I would. Who knows? Things continue. Maybe I'll get swayed. But I still tend to believe this award is going to go to Shohei Ohtani. So the question becomes, if you, like me, have an Ohtani ticket and no other liabilities on the board, do you just click down on Francisco Lindor and then wipe your hands of that NL MVP race? You certainly could, because it's just one of those two guys that'll end up winning league MVP. Lindor didn't even make an all-star team this year, by the way. Can we go back and retroactively fix that? Because it looks ridiculous. We'll close out Moneyline after this quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You gotta love it. Little money line with you right here on a Tuesday. Solo. Handled it, I think. I'm sure a lot of you missed Donnie. Well, it makes sense. Donnie's great. Donnie, be back tomorrow. I'll have you covered. Be live on Moneyline, and then I'll jump right here and make it happen with you on Moneyline. Donnie likes the lines, man. That's how it goes. That's how it goes. One final bit here, but I will remind you, Game Time Decisions. We are live at 6 p.m. Eastern, 2 hours on a Tuesday. So we will be with you tonight. We'll have Coach James Young stop by, get his WNBA thoughts. I'm sure Joe Madden will be with us as well, get her baseball card, some of the NFL fallout. We're going to hit some market movement on that show as well. There's some moves in who is expected to have the first overall pick now, by the way. It was New England Patriots. Not anymore. Not anymore. Could the Green Bay Packers enter that race? Anyone? Let me just say, I feel, and I don't know if it's because it was on Friday, that people are moving past the Jordan Love injury too quickly. Their next game is home against Indianapolis. They are a now field goal underdog to the Indianapolis Colts. If Jordan Love was healthy, I feel like this is at least, ooh, now a 3.5-point underdog. Wow. If Jordan Love was healthy, they're probably a 3.5-point favorite, I would say. Is Jordan Love 7 points better than Malik Willis? You know, usually I go, yeah, it can't be, right? Bet the Colts, or I'll bet the Packers, and they just get rolled. Just get rolled. The Malik Willis, the Malik Willis statistics throughout his time in Tennessee are terrible. Now, there weren't a lot of them, but Malik Willis has had a few cracks at it. He's never thrown for 100 yards. Never thrown for 100 yards. And that is a crazy bar to not be able to cross. His last go at a game where he was, I think, the game-listed starter against the Texans, 14 for 23, 99 yards, no touchdowns, 2 picks. Well, I feel like people aren't talking about this enough. Is the Packers were a Super Bowl pick for plenty of people. The Packers were a conference pick for plenty of people. The Packers are a team that I actually projected to miss the playoffs narrowly. I don't think anybody who puts them in is crazy. I felt maybe the Jordan Love second half, which was unbelievable, if that can come down a little bit, though, is this team going to be good enough then on the defensive side of the football? A lot of people sold on the defensive side just because they got rid of their coordinator in Joe Barry. I wouldn't agree with that personally. And I think we saw that in the game, opening game against the Eagles. Now, the Eagles have a great offense. They have a great offense. But the Eagles put up 34, pretty smooth. Could have been more. Whenever they figure out the tush push, they could have got, you know, a couple extra points on the board. Is what it is. But here's my point. Green Bay's next three games. Home against the Colts, at the Titans, home against the Vikings. I imagine Packers backers viewed all of those as wins. At minimum, 2-1. With Malik Willis as your quarterback, you'll be lucky to win one of those games. Then you go to the Rams. So let's make it a four-game window. Let's say Jordan Love misses a month of football. Home Colts, at Titans, home Vikings, at Rams. Dog, 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 dog. Colts laying 3.5. They're not going to go to Tennessee and lay points. Doesn't matter how bad Will Levis looks. I don't think they'd lay to Minnesota at this point. It'd be a short line. Certainly won't lay in L.A. against Stafford. All of a sudden, this team might be 1-4. And that's if Jordan Love's ready to go by week 6. We'll find out. We'll find out. It could be a lost year in Green Bay, and I think many people are overlooking it. It's been fun here, though, man. Solo style with you on Moneyline. I'm Kevin Walsh. I'll see you on Thursday. I'll see you tonight, though. Game time decisions. Donnie Wrightside back in the saddle tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.